It's 11:35, Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
Young, beautiful, and so incredibly wealthy.
Deeply factionalized, bitter rivalries, giant egos.
Arts and culture are totally undervalued in this country.
Crybaby, who's to say jazz didn't cause that cancer, Boots?
Gothenburg in Iceland. Canada, hello, Canada. Here we are, and you can expect Pomo meets Newfoundland. A local boy remembers Paris in the springtime. Government funding problems knock the wind right out of local jazz. And come clean with the bidets of the rich and fabulous. All this for you, with me, on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
The Xmas consumer frenzy is upon us, and that means the last hope for many bookstores. Here to discuss the Yuletide crop of bound scribbles, doodles, and snaps is Ms. Wordworks herself, Kathleen Hanrahan.
Hello, Paul.
Now, the gift book is truly the lifeblood of retailers, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Paul. People don't read so much anymore, but a book is, well, it's readily available, usually in the price range for a Christmas gift, and... Well, hey, it's easy to wrap.
Yeah. Backing up a bit, Kathleen, why aren't people reading?
First, I think there's a lifestyle question. More onerous work, greater demands at home. People can't find time to read, simply too tired to read. And, well, secondly, they've grown stupid.
You know, I'd thought that, but I'm glad you said it. On to the Christmas goodies now. You promised us only books 100% guaranteed to satisfy. So, what do you got, what do you got, what do you got?
First, places you will never go. Mm. A sumptuous marriage of glossy photographs and fluffy text by Harriet Burton.
Very sumptuous. Mm. The paper is so soft.
It's infused with hand lotion.
Nice. And this book is about...
The homes and extravagant lifestyles of our filthy rich.
Ow. Look at this bathroom. I'd dine there any day.
Oh, if you were ever invited.
I don't have a hope, do I?
No.
I see the Woolwrights made their money through child labor.
Several generations ago. Mm. These days, they keep the industrial engine running with a canny mix of banking and offshore athletic footwear manufacturing.
Maintaining that tradition of child labor through the ages, that's great. Oh, here, a photo essay about the local debutante ball.
Young, beautiful, and so incredibly wealthy.
That's a winning combination.
Still, this photographic essay shows the well-heeled lifestyle, warts and all.
Ah, yes. There's a debutante being sick. All that food, Clicquot.
There's one humiliating a busboy.
And well, well, well. Here a debutante having a sexual encounter up against a dumpster out back of the hotel.
If you read the caption, you'll see that the handsome young suitor is her own cousin.
My, those wacky super rich. We just can't get enough of them, can we?
Prestige Press and just about affordable at $47.50.
Great. Next.
The Absolution Vodka Book.
Oh, the booze people who do those fabulous ads?
The same. This is a book of those advertisements.
What? I paid to look at their ads?
They're quite exceptional.
Where is this going to end, Kathleen? I mean, you can't buy clothes that don't have company logos plastered all over them. As you try to phase out in front of the tube and you're subjected to infomercials and you... Oh, look at this one. It's the little mouse. He's trapped in the vodka bottle. I think he's drunk. That's adorable. My mom might like this. What's the asking price?
$32.
Oh, no, that's too much. Next.
For the kids, there is yet another Goofoids book.
Oh, I hate those cartoons. The noise, the graphic violence, the supply-side economics. But you know, my brother's kids can't get enough of them.
I'll bet they love the Goofoids breakfast cereal.
He's afraid not to give it to them. Claims they get ill without it. Nauseous, sweaty, and irritable.
That's because it's addictive.
Wow.
Still, it's a complete breakfast.
I have a bad feeling about this stuff, Kathleen. Again, you know, I can't see the line between entertainment and advertising.
Well, that's standard fare, though, these days, isn't it, Paul? I mean, look at the RCMP. They have a contract with Disney. So, I mean, in a way, this kind of predatory children's entertainment has the state sanction.
And look, the characters smoke.
Cigars, Paul. They're just hip to the scene.
Goofoids, kitty priced at $11.95. Next.
Edna Greeley's Christmas Homemakers Extravaganza, a real gift at $22.95.
Get a load of the centerpiece. So woodsy, It's a virtual pine forest, for crying out loud.
It's all carved from cheese. Mm. There are pretzel skiers, little caper toots.
Skis or anchovies, I guess.
It's so pretty, I don't think I could eat it.
I don't know, with the anchovies, I'd attempt it.
That's a dip pond by the walnut grove there.
Looks like a lot of work.
Well, today's homemaker has to really put out Paul, lest they be accused of being a bad parent or spouse.
Things are so different for kids these days, eh? When I was growing up, Catholics fasted through Advent so they'd really appreciate their Christmas porridge.
Paul!
Just kidding, Kathleen. We always got a big feed of utility roadkill down our way every Christmas.
Oh, that's comforting.
Well, at least you knew they weren't fed steroids. Thanks, Kathleen Hanrahan, and remember, bye, bye, bye.
You too.
God bless.
And let's keep God out of this.
And we'll see you again real soon on Word Works.
1997, the year of Cabot, our continent's first venture tourist. Rediscover Newfoundland again 500 years later, and not a moment too soon.
Hi, I am Ormond Boudreau, Minister of Mines, Energy, and Tourism. In the great spirit in which it was discovered, Newfoundland now offers pre-discovery tax levels for subsurface ventures. That's right, no tax.
Is that all?
No, there's more. Not only will we not tax you, we'll give you money. Our new Subsoil Harvest Abatement Forwarding Tax Initiative, SHAFT, guarantees profit on all mineral and ecological removal. Make no mistake, your hole is our goal.
Next year, come home to El Dorado, a venture tourism quingenerary, an exploration opportunity, a world of difference to conquer all over again.
The preceding message brought to you by the Government of Newfoundland, a warm, receptive place for your business.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to the contest we go. Yes, it's time to play What's That Noise from Newfoundland. Now, this might be your lucky day. You could win a lovely Great Eastern T-shirt just in time for Xmas Giving. It's assuming you've taken the time to enter our contest. Holla, stop it. Furnish us with that seasonal sound.
The whole crew stand by for emergency. And the boys lay aloft with the wheels of clear towel hanging to the rig. It takes real steam. The weather will blow like...
That's it. My, oh my, there's lots of clues in there for the discerning puzzle solver. It's gettable, but it's a toughie. Now, seeing as how we're not going to be playing the contest game for a couple of weeks, seasonal programming exemptions being what they are, Ish Lundrigan has given me allowance to draw two letters this week. So down into the mailbag of destiny I go for entry numero uno. And here's an email all the way from Waterloo, Ontario. Hello, Waterloo. And it's from David Fyander. And David writes, rather frighteningly, I recognize the current noise from Newfoundland. I wonder why that would upset you, David. It's a clip from a documentary produced in the 30s or 40s by a Newfoundland adventurer about his trips to the Arctic Ocean and North Atlantic. The only problem, of course, is that I'm buggered if I can remember his name. But I do remember that he was very popular on the social circuit in New York and Boston at the time. Ooh-hoo, David Fyander of Waterloo, Ontario, you are so close. Can we accept this entry, Quiz Judge Hollistuffet? No? Oh, my. That's as close as we've ever come without actually giving away the prize. Hollis, you are playing hard to get. Well, once more into the bag of dreams I go, and here's a letter. And this letter is, let's see, it's all the way from Lewisport, Newfoundland, and it's from Lawrence Kindon, and Lawrence writes, dear Paul, I think that the latest noise from Newfoundland is the voice of a great Newfoundlander and famous Arctic explorer, Captain Bob Bartlett, narrating one of his National Geographic motion pictures. Great program. Let's have more. Thanks, Lawrence Kindon. And Hollis, how about that one? Woohoo! Yes, you are a winner, Lawrence Kindon of Lewisport. Captain Bob Bartlett, explorer extraordinaire, was indeed our mystery sound. A Great Eastern Tea will be on its way to you first thing next week. Congratulations, Lawrence, Lewisport, and Bob Bartlett. And of course, when someone correctly identifies the noise from Newfoundland, we introduce you to a new noise. Noisemonger Hollistuffet, give us the skinny on the new one. Ugh.
Well, if you think you know what the new hullabaloo is, then you just gotta enter the What's That Noise for Newfoundland contest. Mail your guess in an envelope clearly destined to the contest to the Great Eastern, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5. All the way from Cape Breton now, here's Sunfish with me and you and Mary Jane.
Well, I can't quite remember the very first time I saw your pretty eyes. Can't recall just when it was she held me to the side. What I knew, the time had come to start respecting my point of view. The black sheep shouldn't have to run and hide.
Good morning, I'm Rita Malloy with Sweeps Week programming highlights. At 2, it's Look It's. This week, Look It's Lap Dancing. Host Ricky Parabrame investigates the latest craze with his regular enthusiasm. Come along with Ricky as he goes downtown, visits our seediest dens of iniquity, and has a private audience with Miss Movement 96. Digital and oral dancing as well on Look It's Lap Dancing. Regular programming is preempted at 3, so we can present a special BCN Sweeps Week sweepstakes. Quizmaster Erling Biggs poses the questions, you call with answers, and win, win, win. Prizes, free gifts, cash giveaways, only on this station. At 4, a special playlets. After a successful court challenge, we are pleased to present, in the spirit of unchecked artistic expression, the complete unexpurgated episode 9 of last year's hit series, The Misery That Is My Life. This program is not suitable for young listeners. Find out, finally, who is doing who and how. At 5, gather up the kids and tune in to live coverage of Seafaring Santa as his Christmas steamer, the Star of Palestine, sails from the Furnace Withy Pier. Ahoy, youngsters, and ho, ho, ho! A full day of informative and entertaining programming, only on BCN 520, All Newfoundland Radio.
I'm comfortably ensconced in the Café des Poseurs, a humming Java joint with little natural light, done in a kind of a... what would you call it, Fred?
I don't know. Kind of a late millennial Rocco Deco Vienna nightmare swirl.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? With me is Fred Raymond, author of a fascinating new memoir, Paris in the 70s, My Life Among the Modern French Philosophers.
You really found it fascinating. Yeah, that's great, thanks.
Paris in the 70s, that's a curious title. Now, Paris in the 20s, I mean, sure, the names, the images, they just abound.
Josephine Baker and her banana dance.
Right, and...
Well, the X-Fast, Hemingway star.
Yeah, Steinbeck, of course.
Joyce,
and the Dreyfus Affair, and Jean-Claude Killy. We could go on. But the question is, was Paris in the 70s really so grand as to merit its own decade?
Well, it was the crucible for all contemporary critical thought.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, Fred, but so what?
Well, all of our art today, now, our literature, our film, everything, I mean, it's all coming out of the intellectual movements that took shape in Paris during the 70s.
So, deconstructionism, postmodernism, nouvelle cuisine, we have Paris in the 70s to thank then for the death of all meaning.
Yes, we do.
Wait a minute, the meaning was dying all over the place in the 70s, Fred. I killed quite a bit of it myself.
Ah, but it was only theorized in Paris.
I hate that. The French discovered meaninglessness. They'll be lording that over us forever. Now, Fred, how did you, a townie lad from just around the corner here, get tangled up in this highbrow Parisian cesspool in the first place?
68. You know, I was backpacking around Europe, and I got involved with the Situationists in Paris. And after a failed career as a revolutionary, I don't know, it seemed natural to go on to grad school, you know. Anyway, Julia Kristeva at Paris 6 got me a fellowship in return for sexual favors, and... That was my ticket to the social world of Paris intellectuals.
Well, what was that scene like?
It wasn't so much a scene as it was a sin.
Of course it would have been, being Paris and all.
Not an easy world to live in. Deeply factionalized, bitter rivalries, giant egos, you can imagine. You know?
Yeah. Now, in your view, it was the infamous seminars conducted by psychoanalytical guru Jacques Lacan that brought that world together.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, you say that Lacan himself, though, was really quite an ass.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was hard to tell because no one understood a thing he was saying, you know?
Well, now, the decade closed on a tragic note, didn't it, with the death of the great cultural critic Roland Barthes, which you yourself actually witnessed.
Yes, I did. March 80. I'll never forget it. We were meaning to go to a Brady Bunch retrospective at a drag club in Pigalle. Roland raced down the steps of Montmartre, waving frantically. He was a bit late and crossed the Champ Magnétique without looking.
Blindsided by an ice cream truck.
Yeah. Anyway, but, you know, Bart, the master of signs, he actually managed to give the driver of the van the finger prior to crashing into the Trevi Fountain.
Gone.
Signified and all.
Wow.
But everyone came up for the funeral. It was the intellectual event of the decade. And, I mean, with all the booze flowing and the dirty stories about Bart and what a hypocrite he was and so on, I mean, it just brought people together.
I love that part of the book where you and Gilles Deleuze, was it?
Yeah.
You get loaded and you head back to Montparnasse Cemetery to exhume Bart.
Well, you know, Deleuze and Guattari were such pranksters. I mean, after the funeral, we all went off to this place in the Arab Quarter and got smashed. So Gilles and Felix haul out shovels and a set of Lego and insist they're going to reconstitute a structuralist body of knowledge on Bart's corpse.
That is such a funny part of the book.
No, but by the time we get there, one of Levi Strauss's advanced grad seminars was already exhuming the body.
That's too perfect.
Oh, that was typical of the crowd at the Collège de France, though.
Well, there's so much more to talk about and to read. This is a stunning portrait of the witticisms, the personal feuds, the sexual peccadilloes, and the bad breath of the great philosophers of our day, as told by a local boy, Freddie Raymond, in his new memoir, Paris in the 70s. Published by M&S, and it retails for $29. Thanks for this.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Coast to coast in Newfoundland, you're listening to BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Well, with Paul Martin's approval, Dave Dingwall has lowered the boom on jazz in Newfoundland. Legislation was tabled at Imperial HQ last week that will limit the tobacco company's ability to sponsor cultural events. Here to discuss the decision are J. Richard Kandow of Tobacco for a Better Tomorrow and Boots Sweetapple, a saxophonist with, what is it, Boots?
inoperable lung cancer.
So it is. You're a smoker?
I was, until I got news of this great, huge goddamn tumor in my chest.
And you're understandably upset.
Oh, crybaby. Who's to say jazz didn't cause that cancer? Boots, you've played a lot of jazz over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, but I don't think that... I've never heard anybody ever...
You can't run from the facts, Boots.
Now, this really must be a dilemma for you, Boots. Sailor's Twine Blend have been very supportive of jazz in Newfoundland.
Sailor's been the sole supporter of the Twilling Gate Wank for the past 10 years.
Probably. Now, if you don't know already, the Wank is this province's premier jazz festival. Sailors is withdrawing its sponsorship because new federal legislation prohibits them from obliging patrons to smoke.
The situation is really bad. I mean, what with the government basically getting out of culture?
Yes, demonstrating that they do not care. And culture lovers everywhere should be grateful that because of Prime Minister Martin's intervention and the creation of a few loopholes, the situation is not much worse.
This is Martin Cat, man. I mean, he's some piece of work. He's straight from the board of Canada's biggest tobacco company, right into the cabinet, and then down go the taxes on smokes. Shit!
Look, you are reading Paul Martin all wrong. The man's an aesthete. All those decisions were motivated by his love of jazz and of dance and of theater.
You're saying that he's not thin in the pocket of tobacco interest?
Oh, please. Sure, he's a friendly, but I don't know of any payoffs as such. No, I mean, if the guy was in the movies, that would be different.
And then this Dingdo, dude, who's this guy?
David Dingwall. He's one of the lesser cabinet ministers.
What's wrong with that guy?
Well, Cape Breton isn't threatening to separate, and tobacco is king in Montreal. They put it together.
Look, just one second there, Mr. Cando.
Oh, please, please, Boots, call me Richard.
Why don't I call you Debbie? Listen, the people in government, they got to be held to some sort of moral standard.
Oh, my. You are naive, but then you're an artist. Listen, this government just sold the Chinese a couple of can-do reactors, and Li Ping and the lads, well, I mean, they're butchers. If you imagine they're going to get squeamish over tobacco or arts funding, think again.
Oh, J.R., look, even accepting that the liberals are crass political opportunists functioning without any kind of moral compass, free to do whatever they like in what is quickly becoming a one-party satellite state of Wall Street.
Yes.
I forget the point I was trying to make.
Well, I know the point that I was trying to make. Arts and culture are totally undervalued in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so taken for granted that we're one of the first expendable line items on the budget. Get out and get some private sponsorship, says the G-Man. So we peddle our ass to corporate Canada, and the only ones desperate enough to throw us some change are the booze and tobacco outfits.
Damn it, your point?
And once that relationship is finally established and we can finally do our thing, the government comes back and says, wait a second, we think not.
Yes, what exactly can you do besides play the saxophone?
Not much, really. I worked as a production assistant one time in a film, but I was fired.
I rest my case. You'll play, my friend, because you don't have a choice.
The tragedy of jazz, again. Well, thanks for coming in, J. Richard Kandawa, representative of Tobacco for a Better Tomorrow, and Boots Sweetapple, a jazz saxophonist. Why don't you take us out, Boots, with a little,
No.
It's a shame. I was hoping that we could keep this as a private matter, but, well, now that everything's out in the public, this will be an open letter to Ashley. Dear Ash, I want you to know that you're not the first to go through what you're going through. Where you've been, I've been there before. Well, I don't, of course, mean that particular room or wherever, in that particular realm of sexual conduct or anything, but I, too, Ash, have experienced celebrity and paid its exacting toll. This industry you're in, it's all about sales, about the commodification of you as an object. Or is that the objectification of you as a commodity? In that industry's estimation, you're just something to sell. And in a way, it's right. Because the fans want to buy a bit of you. But you, Ash, up there in the public eye, you open yourself up. But that's what artists do. You try to be honest for the fans. And after the interview is over and you get on with your life, with what you and a consenting adult, or a consenting teenager anyway, would describe as a normal life, your story gets turned into another story. The newsmakers and the newsbreakers ream you. The music hasn't changed, Ash, but the image is bruised. And I fear, friends, that in the marketplace, in this day and age, image is everything. But what's McLean's, Ash? Just remember, they too are merely a commodity. They have to come up with stuff every week. This time, they came up with you. Sad, really. More a reflection on them than on you, don't you think? As I said, though, I've been there. Oh, yes, my friend. I, too, was once up for the McLean's honor roll. And I, too, was removed from contention because of my private conduct. No, I don't get my thrills from having other men urinate over me. And again, let me state that I have no objection to any act between consenting mammals. All I did was fess up to my U.S. criminal record. A little mix-up with speedballs and the rights and freedoms supposedly guaranteed under the American Constitution. Troubles that were well behind me. And then McLean's decides I'm not honorable. Well, shag McLean's, Ash! Long live that scorching Celtic axe, babe! It is babe, isn't it? And remember what Mick Jagger said. We piss anywhere, man.
You have been listening to The Great Eastern, live from our studios in the Old Town. Our engineer today is Hollis Duffett, and the director of radio is Ish Lundrigan. Please write us with your comments, questions, and answers. Care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5. Or deliver the mail yourself to our email address, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Check out our website. You get there by clicking on CBC Radio's homepage, and we're in the arts section. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next Saturday for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.